Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, property, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our badly broken legal system. We stand with you, ladies and gentlemen, to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio on Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is March 20th, 2024. My name is Robin Austin, and I am with my co-host, Luann Fleming.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show. We've got a really good show tonight, but first of all, let's go ahead and welcome Hillary. Let's bring Hillary on, one of our co-hosts, Hillary Hogue. Say hello to everyone.
I am. Hello, everyone, and welcome, and another week and another show of unveiling the truth of about what is going on in the probate / guardian civil court. So really excited about our guests who's getting the word out on the gulag, the guardianship gulag, and there is no debating that that's exactly what it is. So thanks again for having me, Robin and Luann, another good show to be had for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You too, absolutely. Gosh, we got so much to talk about. And we have some really good news coming out about the Roger Hillegas case and the Stuart Henty case. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit here as well. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got an hour and a half to do it, so started. Marcy should be calling in anytime as well, so we'll be waiting for her to join us as soon as possible. Anyway, remember, you can call into the show and talk to anybody that you want to. If you're having problems in the probate court arena, give us a call. The number I'm going to give you is, you can use it every week, and it's 845-241-9962. You press a 1, 845 241-9962, you press a 1, and that will get you into our shows. And that's the same number each week as well, so I just want everybody to know that. We've got a great show. We've got a lot of information coming in. Robin and I are also writing a book. We've been getting some stories put in there. It's going very well. We should be wrapping it up in about, I'm thinking about 15 days or so, and then trying to get it out there. So that's been a long haul, so I can say.
A long, arduous process.
Yeah. And so we're excited to be announcing that soon, not too long in the future. So.
But tonight,
we're
here to talk about another gentleman who has written a book. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be familiar with Dennis Andrew Ball. He is a presidential candidate who has a book called Guardianship Gulag. Luann, you want to?
Yeah, I will. I
tell us about what you have there for our guest tonight.
Right. I'm taking care of puppies too. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to welcome Dennis Andrew Ball tonight. His new book is Guardianship Gulag. I like the name. The Perfect Crime by the Color of Law. He is also a scholar. He's an author and a presidential candidate in 2024. Tonight, we're going to discuss his inspiration for the book and why it's important to listen in. So please bring your friends in, bring anybody that wants to listen in. We've got a lot of information coming out and some really important information with the Roger Hillegas case and the Stuart Henty case. In fact, Stuart's probably going to be joining us tonight about that. So please, we welcome everybody to listen in tonight. It's going to be a really important show. Anyway, we're going to go ahead. Hillary, did you have anything you want to say real briefly before we go on to the show?
Sure. I've always got something to say when it comes to guardianship. I'll just let everyone throughout the country, specifically Florida, though Rebecca Fairley is known throughout the country, that there are two cases still pending, and I'm hoping that they'll go to trial and we'll be able to attend the trial. One is Kim Stryker, whose father, Stephen Stryker, died when Rebecca Fairley basically pulled the plug on him and put a do not resuscitate order into play. She got basically minimal time, no jail time for her crime in that case. So the daughter is suing Rebecca Fairley in the hospital, as well as her guardianship company. And then there's a gentleman right off the top of my head, I can't remember his name, but he's suing on behalf of his deceased mother, Lonnie Fisher. And I wish both family members the best of luck. And I do have to say that we are here to support you, whether you're in Alaska or in Key West when it comes to guardianship corruption. You need all the support that you can get, and we are here and very easily able to get in touch with. So that's something to look forward. Any guardian who's done wrong to our family members, whether it's our immediate family members or anyone who's involved in this corruption family-wise, that's a good day for us that they will be held accountable. So thank you.
I absolutely agree. I mean, there's so much. We get so many stories coming in to Faces Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, that I have a hard time keeping up with them now, and they're basically the same playbook, you know. So you know that this is just a big scam among people, and it has to be, because if the people are telling the same kind of story over and over and over again, it's bad, you know. So we want everybody to be informed, everybody to be enlightened what we have to say on this radio show. We want you to remember that these are real life stories that we've been bringing to our show for over the last 8 years. And in a couple more months, we're going to be having our 8th anniversary of doing our shows live. So this has been really a good thing that we've done. And I'm glad we've been helping a lot of families out there that have gone through this horrible, horrible thing. I went through it. I went through it a couple of times. I was also a guardian to my husband as well, so I know how the system works and how it's supposed to work. So we're going to leave it at that. We're going to bring Marcy in on. She is just called in to the show. Marcy, welcome to the show. She's another one of our radio show hosts.
Well, hello, Luann and Robin, and hello, America. I think America is beginning. It's beginning to wake up.
Yeah.
Hey, it's beginning to wake up little by little, right? It's like the shit hit the fan and it's circulating. This is really hurting the American people. Yeah. And I think the American people that do not know about these types of crimes that are going on are beginning to wake up. And every day it's a new story. Every day it's you don't hear as many victims anymore coming into the trap, the entrapment. You hear more of victims still hurting, even those of us who have lost our mothers. We are still looking for justice, for healing, and making sure that no one else continues to get injured. And definitely the 14th Amendment of the United States, it seems like it's beaten. In Cuba, they would call it gusanos. It's beaten bite by bite like worms. Our rights being depleted, including in each state, I mean, the state of Florida, for them not to pass the bill that Senator Ileana Garcia presented and Representative Rita Harris. They're okay with isolating the loved ones, and it can happen to anybody. And that is not okay. It's actually very unconstitutional. So I'm wondering if we still do have a constitution in the United States, or is it a Mickey Mouse kind of constitution? Yeah, it's there, but it's really not there.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you, too, as well. And, you know, and that's another good reason why we've brought Dennis Andrew Ball on. He's written several books on the corruption going on in the United States and across America. Hold on, I got to put my puppies on a second. As soon as anybody's upstairs or anything. So we're going to bring Dennis Andrew Ball on. He's going to explain a lot of stuff that's going on in this nation, and he has a new book called Guardianship Gulag, so let's bring him in. Hold on a second.
Hi, Dennis.
Hold on, we're going to bring him in. He's muted still.
Thank you for inviting me tonight. It's really an honor. Praise God.
Appreciate you coming.
I'm listening to everybody here. I just want to thank Marcy. You've been so supportive to me. You've communicated your confidence in my candidacy. Hillary, I follow you. I think you're doing outstanding work. I love your attitude toward these guardians who are corrupt and need to be punished, basically, for all the crimes they commit. And, of course, Robin and Luann, your dedication to what has happened here in your own cases and others is very positive to me. And, of course, I'm gonna include Marty Oakley in this because because of her work, Marty was very instrumental, I think, in many of our own experiences with how to approach this problem and get the facts out there to deal with it. It is almost like an octopus with a head and tentacles and jellyfish and all of that. And but the gulag is real, and this is why I'm here. Because I see things for whatever reason it is. I parked my ego at the door a long time ago, but the realities are I feel like I'm a specialist. I feel like I can see into what not only is the problem, what also is the solution, because to get to the solution, we have to understand the problem. What say you?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about where you got the term gulag. And for our audience that may not realize, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a Soviet author who was a dissident, was viewed as a dissident, which means freedom fighter, really, in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he wrote a book about the Russian prison system, which was used to incarcerate political prisoners. Anyone that disagreed with the government would be thrown into a gulag. And he wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago, I believe it was called.
You're right.
That's where you got that term. Am I not? Is that right?
Yeah, I did. And I have to say he was in Gorky, Russia. And the situation was he witnessed a lot of the abuse that we are witnessing here in our own families and to the effect of murder. Murdering our family members, separating us, and using, abusing, and misusing the family's wealth for themselves. I mean, this is highly illegal, criminal. I mean, that's the bottom line here. And like I have in the book, it's 10 chapters. It's divided into two sections. One is the problem, and the other is the solution. Half of it is the problem, and half is the solution. In terms of getting to the solution, again, I say, I think we must understand the problem. And that's what this is about with me, to define the gulag, the problem of the government becoming an abuser and enabler and an empowerment unit of government through the state bar associations, through the Supreme Court of the United States. They know what's going on. And then, of course, the state courts who are supervising the bar associations. And that's also all part of the problem. And therefore, this has been a problem since the end of World War II. I almost feel like we're still in World War II with Russia and Germany. Seems like there has never really been a change of heart to the extent that we can rely on others to do the right thing. and all of these isms that are going on in the world. Like I said, I've written a book called The Ball Doctrine, Creating Peace and Prosperity in Every Nation, Creating a Middle Class in Every Nation. That's one of the ways I think that the gulag can be remedied to a certain extent, not completely. But I want to say this. In the first chapter, I talk about getting old. We all get old. That's really quite obvious. And so right there, the fact that we have this experience in life, we were born, we grew, we became adults, and then, of course, life became what we are now. But getting old is all part of the cycle, as we all know. And this also comes to deal with your money. Now, that's chapter two. And then, of course, with respect to the money comes the attitude of the love of money, in my opinion, based on what I believe, all of what I have continued to recognize as the human condition of the love of money, which continues to corrupt what people should be thinking about instead. The love of money, how about the love of family? How about the love of a living wage job so you can raise your family properly and not deal with minimum wage jobs and working two and three of them just to survive? That's no good. So I'm pleased that we can communicate this tonight. And please feel free to jump in. If you have comments or thoughts or questions, I'd really be interested to hear them. The guardianship thing to me is a total bust. It's a total disaster. Most of the cases, you know, you have the greatest growth of the legal field in guardianships, family courts, probate courts. Obviously, there's a problem there because if the money was not there, they wouldn't be there. So there you go. Getting old, your money, guardianship. And of course, let me say this. The females are the ones, in my opinion, who are the big-time targets by virtue that their husbands pass on. Although now I'm not sure you have to pass on as a man. They can just come and get both of you. And therefore, they take everything from both of you. And therefore, we are really in trouble, let alone what Mr. Biden is doing right now with the banking system. In terms of this digital banking account system that he put into practice on March 6, 2022, but supposed to go into effect March 11, 2024, which today is, what, 20th of March, so that would have been 9 days ago. I'm not sure what the digital banking initiative has done to the banking system. I keep seeing that different ones are closing, banks are closing. People supposedly, you know, if a bank closes, there's a certain amount that's guaranteed under the FDIC. But if you have more than what the government will guarantee, you may be out of luck. So people would go and find a way to get their money out of the bank. But if it's a digital system, that bank can lock down that account and you can't get in it. And I just say this, that's another part of the system that I identify as part of the gulag, especially in terms of if they don't like what you have to say about what it is that they think should not be said, then they can keep you out of your account to be able to buy and sell anything. That's mm-hmm. another problem in this system. And,
you know, Dennis.
Hold on, Dennis. Go ahead.
I have heard people have noticed in just the recent past, the past few months, that banks have been making all kinds of much more, let me know your business. Why is it that you want to deposit this money? Where did this money come from? Why is it that you want to withdraw this money? What are you going to do with it? And I find that just as I have come to the conclusion that it is unwise to vest a hospital doctor with a whole lot of trust, because I have heard too many stories of people who were guardianized in hospitals by doctors who wanted to be sure that they got paid, so they just guardianized the people, and then they can keep them locked up in the hospital until they damn well do take their property, and by doing that, they guarantee that they'll be paid whatever the bill may be, however high they want to run it up, to the limits of that person's value, the way that it's measured in courts, which is people only have monetary value in courts. And that's, I wanted to take issue with one thing that you said. That was that you said that that women bear the brunt. Well, I think that may be true, but I think that the reality is it's not so much that they're targeting women, it's that they're targeting the money. And that means that if they can take the man out of the equation by getting a guardianship on a man, men, as we all know, on average, men's health as they age may not be as good as women's health as they age. In general, in very broad terms, statistically speaking. And so oftentimes we hear these stories of men who wind up in a hospital for one reason or another and then get guardianized. At that point, the guardian does several things. They'll petition the court to divorce the woman from the man. They'll overrule and override any directives that man has in place that assign to that woman the caretaking role, the guardianship role, the conservatorship role. All of these things may be lined up in the documents that person has prepared, and yet these criminal run courts, in my opinion, absolutely ignore and disregard those documents and put their own people in charge so that they can simply access that money as though it belongs to the court, and they spend it on their own little cabal, their own little family of attorneys, and their own little family of helpers that are involved in the scheme. It's not that they're targeting the people. I don't even think that really, they don't even see the people so much. What they're looking at is right through those people at the assets, and they're targeting those assets, and the people are just the obstructions. They have to move around like chess pieces on a board so they can claim those assets and take them.
And you know what? And you're right, Dennis, and I'm telling you right now, you're right about the banks getting involved, Robin, you too, because we've heard a lot of stories lately, and it's kind of scary if you go to a bank and you even want to talk to them with a parent or anything, and then you got to be really careful. You really do. So go ahead.
Right. Your mother says, hey, listen, go to the bank with me. I'm getting older, and I want your help with my finances, and you go to the bank with your mother, and the bank says, how well do you know your daughter?
Yeah.
How well do you know your son? I think your son's trying to take advantage. And the next thing you know, Adult Protective Services has been called by your banker, who sends them in, and they take over the accounts. And neither your mother nor your father nor you have any money left or any control over the money that belongs to your family.
So, Dennis, what do you think of that?
Well, I think you say it so well, you know, saying it very well. And I think that in terms of the money, the opportunity, this is an opportunist situation that's been created here. I recall us speaking before, Luann, when you had described to me your case, and it seemed like they just grabbed everything they could get. And it's really a mentality thing here to me in terms of the bankers using their position and the government. They're in cahoots. The guardianship issues Where's the MMPIs? I would love to know that, because I put that in the book too. They should be, the doctors should be giving their clients MMPIs to show that they don't need to be having a guardian. Maybe they're, you know, a little bit off mentally, but they can take care of themselves, or they need some assisted living. They don't need to be in a guardianship with a good MMPI result. And that means that the person who money is in the bank should have access to their own money. That's another problem with the gulag.
Right.
And the realities are, if you don't have access to your money, I hate to say it, but we're screwed, because there's how are you going to function properly?
Mm-hmm. Well,
the thing, the social
tyranny, not a democracy.
Right.
Well, that's it. I mean, we are devolving into what Marcy talks about with communist Cuba, with Castro.
Oh, my God. How that all evolved. Oh, my gosh. We got a wonderful story going in the book about
it. Hi, Dennis. And you're right. Every day I see the similarities of communism, where Castro, what he did is he took everybody's money away. That way it ties their hands. And then they took their properties. And then then he held everybody hostage in Cuba. And then he didn't want anybody to leave. Or like in my family, he allowed my father to leave. And he was only allowed to bring one of his children and not the wife. So that right there is isolating the family for control and dictatorship. So
for sure,
that is the same thing that we experience here, that I experienced with my mother. And I'm not a criminal, and she wasn't a criminal, but she got mandated supervision. And the fact that she suffered all those physical injuries didn't mean anything to these people. But his attorney's fees were approved, and the money that was held in the bank that I froze with my father's name or my name or my mother's name, my name was removed. So it's human ownership in every level. No different than what the Cuban people, me, as a child, suffered. It is the same suffering. And it's slavery. I feel like we're slaves. For what? And for family dysfunctional? That's a crock of pot. I mean, that is like, I don't want to say a nasty word, but that is like, please, start using another tactic. But we all know that this is a scam. Mm-hmm. It's an elderly scam. To me, it mimics genocide. It's a modern genocide. It's what it is.
Yeah. Right.
It's horrible. My mother with Alzheimer's, her long-term memory loss was good. It was her short that was bad. That's when the fraud came in. And there's really no winning, because if you have the people holding power saying that that's okay, and they team up with the people that are doing the harm, then there's just no winning.
Right.
Exactly.
And just like communism.
Right. You think of...
No different.
You think that it's... Yep. You think that it's...
Go ahead, Hillary.
Like you mentioned the examining committee. Hi, sweetheart. Hi, Marcy. You think of the examining committee members that basically they have no experience with anyone who's elder, no experience with anyone with dementia. It sounds funny, but it's really sad. But the doctor on my dad's examining committee list, Dr. Errico, he was a gynecologist. I mean, and he spent his entire career as a doctor in his practice looking at a woman's, anatomy, her vagina. And now he was saying, if your mother or my father was incapacitated, They have no experience. The lawyers have no experience with the elderly. And when you push and you say, I want a gerontologist to examine Mr. Smith, they say, oh, no, that, you know, oh, no, they've been, there's a conflict there. That can't happen. And it is. It is the biggest scam and the banks that you have. You have young kids, nothing wrong with that, right out of high school, who are tellers, and they hold the power to contact the authorities to put someone in a guardianship. I mean, it's beyond insanity. And unless it happens,
you're right.
You can't believe that it could happen. You say, no, you must have done something wrong. You know, there must be some fault of a family member there, but that's not the case. It's easy money.
Wow.
Well, it is.
Well, you
it's
know,
evil.
One of the things that comes to my mind, my father was in World War II, and he used to, he sort of raised me, telling me stories and things, but that plus the movies and the television shows and those kinds of things that I've watched over the years, it was a thing in Hitler's Germany. They took the children away from the family and put them in special schools and educated them to tattletale on the people around them. And these were called the Hitler Youth. And the Hitler Youth were taught, if your parents know any Jews and they don't report them to the government, then you report your parents to the government because they're bad people. And you know, kids were doing this. And it's this society that we're in now, these bank tellers you're talking about, young kids out of college who, you know, are now bank tellers, got them a decent job, and now they're in a position to rat on this nice old woman that comes in. They're going to judge her and say, oh, yeah, she looks like she could use some help, and that daughter of hers is asking to be put on her account. This might be a problem, so I better, you know, exercise some caution and go ahead and report them. And now it parallels Nazi Germany. And the parallels don't end there. They're rather, you can meticulously catalog them if you want to go through a whole list. What say you, Dennis?
You say it well. I mean, the realities are here. The gulag, it continues to evolve. And I think that, for what it's been worth here, I mean, the opportunity to communicate what I think Marcy is saying and Hillary is saying, you're saying, and Luann's saying has a lot of merit. We are in trouble, folks. I mean, big time. And in order to create a solution to this problem, it's going to take all of us to be on the same page, educated in the facts, and deal with it as it really is. Now, my chapter 3 on guardianship is good because we talk about needs to be approached with as far as a person's capacity to not be in a guardianship, which means that their doctor should be engaged with their patient to know what the mental health of that person is. And usually they give an MMPI to do that. And so I talk about that as part of the issue of the problem. Because if you don't have an MMPI, you are vulnerable to hearsay. And then hearsay becomes gospel. This person is not able to take care of themselves, so we must get a guardian in their life. So we'll appoint a for-profit guardian like Kathy Johnson, who took advantage of Karen Ferducci, who had two jobs, 56 years old, inherited $155,000 from her deceased father, and now is on the street because of the condition that she finds herself legally in. This is not uncommon now. I mean, you see this. Okay, so that's for real. Okay.
And Dennis, that's the same thing that happened to to my family as well. After all of our property was taken, my brother was actually, he was mentally ill. He was put out in the street, and so he ended up with a camper in my front yard in the driveway. And then he moved it after a while over to my sister's house in her driveway.
Yeah.
This went on 4 years because he became homeless. And we were millionaires. My family had 5 or 6 properties. We had a lot going on.
He was evicted from two times. He was evicted from family homes that his family owned.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no consideration of the fact that he had every right to be there, that it was actually something that he,
mm-hmm.
you know, was slated to be inheriting. None of that was even thought about by the court. They simply looked at the people involved as obstruction to move out of the way so that they could take what was not there.
Exactly. That's what happened. So I get all too familiar what you're talking about, making people homeless, and it's,
And the other thing they do is they all have this tactic that, and I've noticed this as a pattern after so many, we have listened, Luann, to so many victims for years, that there is a pattern that they target the next of kin and make them look really bad. And maybe they lied to the judges, I don't know why the judge would not see through that. They usually give it to the ones that they know that they're going to treat the elderly, the loved one, bad. That way, like in my case, I kept going back to court because I had the rights. I mean, I had the best intentions for my mother, and God knows I tried to save her, and she wanted to be saved. And then they use, in my case, they use my mother's guardianship money to isolate her, where she didn't want to be isolated. And all these attorneys made all these money out of this, and it was all approved when the most important thing was the psychiatrist who spoke Spanish said my mother was not to make independent decisions. And her regular doctor, she didn't pass the mini assessment. And he said he'd been wanting for her to go to a neurologist for a scan, but that, she was getting Alzheimer's and dementia. And all of a sudden, she was moved from that doctor. And they took her to somebody else, and one judge wanted my mother to be diagnosed by a professional guardian who didn't even speak Spanish. And I go, oh, no, this is just not for the best benefit of my mother. That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? Your story's in the book. It's really, really good. So I'm going to have everybody, when we get this book out, it's going to be really good. I mean, it's fascinating.
It is.
It really is. So let's move on a little bit. Dennis, tell us a little bit about this book. I mean, I know that you've been going into that arena right now, but let's talk a little bit. What really made you do this? Because I know your mom, wasn't your mom involved in guardianship?
Oh, yeah, they murdered her. And, I had cared for her for 10 years prior to her death in 2006. This guardianship started in 2005, and she died within 22 months. They separated me from her the last 8 months of her life. The two lawyers who robbed her with the guardian, they're both dead, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The situation being that the gulag has been going on for me for over 18 years. In the book, I talk about it. I also talk about why I left law school by reading the targeting of again, little old ladies for their money and property when their husbands died. I was 22 years old. I wasn't going to do that. My family, my mother and father, were very good people. My father only had an eighth grade education, but a very intelligent man, a good businessman. My mother had a security clearance through Naval Intelligence in San Diego. That's where I grew up. My father was a singer. He liked entertainment. He was a very good family-oriented person. I loved them both, and I miss them tremendously. But the realities are, to witness this kind of an experience, believe me, I am with everybody here. This is not acceptable. To me, it's a continuation of World War II. This is what the Nazis did to the Jews. And here we are experiencing it on our own land. And so I feel it's incumbent that we who have experienced this, you know, do something very powerful about it and move it forward. Like I've said before, if you're not fighting for your family, who are you working for? And that's a very honest question. Everybody needs to answer that. And if they can't, then I think they're part of the problem. I'm for the solution, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit here soon.
Dennis, before you get into that, can I ask you one question since you went to law
sure.
school?
Yeah.
Do you think that jury trials are being denied or trial by jury? Are being denied in probate courts?
Definitely. I think it's all a scam, like you say. I think that it's all tilted to the lawyers and the Bar Association. The Supreme Courts of the states are in on it. I believe the U.S. Supreme Court is in on it. But I will say this. I do, because I know those justices know. Believe me, you're talking to someone who is a court official. I was appointed by the bankruptcy court in 2005 when Morgan Stanley failed to do their job to protect my mother's life and assets. I was the beneficiary. The situation being, I had to be the one in the gap. I had to be the gap man. I had to come clean and do things in the courts myself. I had to move it forward. I had to get down in the trenches. I had to get down and dirty with these people. I know these people very well. I know how evil they are, too. The situation being that the people who I have dealt with have no soul. They've sold it for rock and roll. And the situation being that, as we have all experienced, there has to be a change. The change has got to come from us. To do that, we have to be educated in this. We're talking about it tonight, which is excellent.
I have another question. Do you think that this is a form of genocide? Because they really target. I know that Dr. Sugar did a study, and basically it's women 60 or over, if they own a house. If they had some form of disability and they had money in the bank, they were a target. So
you're right.
If you're 50, 60 and over, that's already elderly. Could that be labeled as a modern genocide?
Well, yes. I mean, the probate.
I'm asking you. I'm not claiming it. I mean, in my opinion, it's clear as night and day, but I certainly don't want to get in trouble for this. So I'm speaking as Constitution of the United States, as my right to speak. But my common sense in being a victim for so many years and listening with Luann and Robert and Hillary and all of us advocating, it just appears to be that way. I wonder what you think.
Well, you say it well, Marcy, and this is the reality we deal with right now. This is why the crisis, Luann's talking about this being a crisis. It is a crisis, okay? I mean, the situation is that the courts have not been there for us. It's been there for them. And that's all part of the Department of Justice. the justice is for them, not for us. There's two sets of rules. It's a two-tiered system, just like that Bob Senator Casey saying that Australia is part of the American territory. That's incorrect. But the thing about it is, outside of the law, nobody is held accountable. Therefore, there's and I'll tell you why, because there's a rule, there are rules for them and there's rules for us. And we are on the out. We are not on the in, because our society, and unfortunately, either one, doesn't understand what's happened to them, and two, is indifferent to understanding what they need to do something about this. But I want to tell you this right now. This is important to me. I will never stop fighting for you or anyone else who believes the way I believe. And I believe the family is number one. And if you're not fighting for your family, who are you working for? And in terms of the reality of all of these problems, okay, it comes down to the family and communication. There's always going to be squabbles. And I think, Luann, Robin, you understand that. There always be squabbles in families. But for mm-hmm. families to use, abuse, and misuse each other for money, that's evil to me.
Right. And, you know, what's even more evil to me is what's even more evil to me is that the courts prey upon that. They like that to happen
right.
in families.
And exactly.
that's how they make their money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, and it's wrong.
What happened to me?
Do you
right?
Do you think that this? Do you think, Dennis, that this is like RICO, RICO Act?
Yeah, it's racketeering, definitely. And the thing is, you see, it's so entrenched, the legal system. I've written a book about it called Tyranny at the Water's Edge, Draining the Swamp. You have these senior executive service managers sitting below the cabinet level, but above G15, which is the highest level of civil service, to be working for. The President of the United States, they don't do that. They work for themselves, and they get paid ungodly money for that. That's got to go.
Yeah.
The Department of Justice, that's got to go, too. Not that we destroy the Department of Justice, but they're supposed to work at the pleasure of the president. The president has the authority
yeah.
to fire them, just like James Comey. He fired him. Trump fired him. That was a good thing, in my opinion. But
mm-hmm.
the people he chose to be his attorney general, Sessions and Barr, to me, they're losers. They weren't on their game. They were on their game. Mm-hmm. People would be in jail, and we would be recovering from all of the corrupt behavior going on in the courts, including the Supreme Court
right.
justices, who are not interested in doing anything about it. But I tell you what, if I'm ever nominated to be a Supreme Court justice, I will be there, and they will hear me out. And John Roberts, you're gone because you have not done your job.
Right. So tell me something, Dennis. In your book, you said you talk about ways that we could stop this guardianship abuse. Can you give us some ideas what those would be? And then I'm also going to have a special announcement come on with the Roger Hilligus case and the Stuart Hantie
okay.
case come on here pretty soon, as soon as he
okay.
calls into the show. Okay? So what would you do?
Right. Yeah. In terms of my book, I talk about the guardianship. Then in Chapter 4, I talk about the courts and how they have been compromised with the money. And the judges and the lawyers and the bar associations. And then, of course, in Chapter 5, I talk about the judges. Now, the second part of this book talks about the solution of the problem. And that's where number 6, Chapter 6, is lien filing. One of the reasons I wrote this book is I wanted the lawyers out of it. In other words, I wanted normal, you know, citizens of the United States who are victimized by this gulag and cabal to be able to fight back. And to me, filing liens, I have 17 liens on people right now, and I'm waiting to foreclose and file complaints against them because I have not heard from them, even though I filed the liens. I've heard from a couple of them, and I have responded to them, but I have liens on them, $1 million a pop, and they recorded in the county recorder's office, both in Arizona and in Illinois, okay? Filing liens is important because it gives you a lever to have an opportunity to recover, and that's important, and I will talk about more of this as we get into the book here quickly. Now, Chapter 7 is talking about the IRS final tax return. In my mother's case, it's 18 years after she died, and there still is no final tax return. Guess what? I filed a Form 3949-A, which is failure to file a tax return on the monies they stole. I don't even say they earned it. They stole it. And as a consequence, that's tax evasion. The IRS will open a investigation. That's good because the IRS can help cover from the theft with their investigation. It's almost like the Inspector General, Office of Inspector General, goes in and does an investigation. That's what shut down Kathy Johnson down there in Naples, Florida. And hopefully she'll be permanently shut down, and maybe she'll get some stripes in a local jail. Now, in order to provide the lien filing, though, you have to collect the evidence. You must have the evidence, period. The evidence supports your liens. It also supports your complaints. Because if they don't settle with you, in my world, I will file a complaint. That's where I'm at right now with this, and I am in the position right now of getting the funds to pay the lawyers. This is a special area of the law that people who work in the probate banking business, bankruptcy also, because this was part of the reason I was in bankruptcy with my mother's estate, because of the guardians, reckless, negligent behavior to what we had kept together for years, similar to what you, Luann, had expressed to me. Your family's estate was liquidated recklessly at somebody else's benefit at your expense. No, that's not acceptable, not even. And that's you know, why this is important. We never asked for any of this, none of us. But this is what we have to deal with, and I am a fighter. We have to fight. We cannot sit on our laurels. We have to do what necessary to do. That means you know your case better than anyone else. Your evidence is for real. That provides you the support to file the liens. Now, you can, after the liens, if they don't come clean with you and say you your demand letters for a settlement, then you file the complaints. And in my case, we have a trust. So by law, I have to have attorneys to do the trust work. If you don't have a trust, then you could file your complaints with the evidence and the liens, file the liens. Then if they don't respond right, file the put the evidence, put some of the evidence. You don't have to declare all the evidence, but put some of the evidence with the complaint. And also, if they have not filed a tax return, a final tax return on the estate, then you can file a Form 3949A to the IRS, and they will do an investigation. Praise God.
Do you think the IRS is corrupted too?
Well, I don't know. I will say this. I do my own tax returns, and when I have questions, they've always been there for me. They've answered everything that I need to answer. Mm-hmm. They have not disproven to me that they're untrustworthy when it comes to these issues. So the thing is, I think, you know, this is a blueprint that mm-hmm. I have written to discuss the problems, but also to provide some leverage for us to go in and deal with this properly and with a chance to recover, because you're talking about your trials, your jury trials, okay? Now,
well, they're not supposed to be denied. According to the Constitution of the United States, we are all entitled trial by jury. Do you think if we had trial by jury in probate courts and the 14th Amendment and due process, don't
yes.
you think that this would sort of eliminate a lot of the corruption and injuries that are being caused to humanity?
World, perfect society, it would. But the problem is that the system is stacked against us through the bar associations,
yep.
the Supreme Court justices, the lawyers. You know, they live a very lavish lifestyle off of the people. And consequentially, it puts us in the position of playing defense, but I am playing offense. Now, I'm a prosecutor, and I am not going to stop here because these people have done so many criminal acts, racketeering, all of this. And I talk about what I believe should happen to them at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And I know some of you have heard me talk about that part too, but they have committed treason. They took an oath to the Constitution. They violated terribly. There's no consequences, they think, to what they have done. Look, I am not some dime a dozen guy here. I have my act together. I understand it. I not only understand it in this country, I understand it around the world. I understand the pain and suffering people are going through, but I also understand how to solve these problems with the right policies and procedures. That is an awesome thing to be able to say to people that we have solutions to these problems, but we have to invest ourselves in being educated to know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And that's all part of the expressions that I'm saying right now, and I appreciate this opportunity.
We do want to get CF Stuart Henty will call into the radio show. We got some big news for the Hillegas case too, and the Henty case. So we just want to see if he'll call in, he'll tell us a little bit what happened there. Well, since he can talk now, so we're going to wait for him to call
in. In itself mm-hmm. is a development of some considerable news,
mm-hmm.
because if you've been following the case and listening to our radio show, then you're familiar with the fact that Stuart Henty actually did a little jail time, several weekends in jail, because he spoke out about some of the injustices that were going on and really just mm-hmm. what was happening to him that we all agreed was unjust,
mm-hmm.
but because he spoke out and the judge had put a gag order out, he went to prison for that. And
just for talking on our radio show too.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that is what the, that's the price of,
yeah.
of speaking out for someone in these unjust courts. If you're dealing with
mm-hmm.
these unjust court officials, then they may lock you up for telling people I'm dealing with unjust court officials.
Oh,
right.
You bet.
A lot of news are coming out. And it's really exciting news. It's really good news. And we're hoping to get Roger out of there completely. So we're just working
mm-hmm.
on this right now. It's a lot of work in progress. A lot of us got together, a bunch of advocates got together and wrote letters into a whole bunch of people yesterday, asking for his release.
Okay.
And I do believe that has come. So we're going to try to talk to him as soon as we can. But I'm really
right.
glad that you came on to talk about this, Dennis, because We're in a crisis. There's no doubt about it. You know,
right.
We talk a lot about that, you know, in our book, what's going on. And it is a really scary thing because not only that, you go into a hospital, you have to worry about them trying to get guardianship of you, even if you're going, you know, across the state into a different country, another state. These people can get guardianship of you. We've heard stories after stories lately where people are traveling and they end up in a hospital and they end up getting guardianship in a different state. Oh my gosh, that's so horrifying.
It is really, truly, honestly, to the point where when we went into Florida, Luann was like, look, I've got a little hangnail here. If it gets infected, don't take me to a hospital in Florida. Take me out of this state to a hospital.
I did that with my toenail when I tore it off, remember?
Yeah.
And I had to go to the hospital because it was infected, we thought. And I said, I took all the way across the whole state with my foot all opened up. I was not going to go to Florida.
In a lot of pain, but not willing to risk going to one of these hospitals that we hear people talk about on our radio show, went to the hospital, never came out.
Yeah, exactly. So you bring up some really fascinating facts, you know, and your book is now on Amazon, right? And it's called The Guardianship Gulag. It's The Perfect Crime by the Color of Law. So I would encourage everybody to go there and buy it and just show it to your family members. Show them what's going on. I mean, a lot of people don't even believe it. So when I talk to people like at the dentist office or massage office or whatever, they're like, oh, they can't do that. And I'm like, well, they do. And they're like, wow. You know, so it's really fascinating that a lot of people have no idea what's going on in this country.
Yeah, Dennis, is Amazon the best place people can go and get your book, or do you have a website or, you know?
Yes, I do. The AOA ANC, that's AOA-ANC.org. We do have a bookstore there. It is connected to Amazon, but there's also BN.com, which is Barnes & Noble. There's also eBay.com, and there's, believe it or not, Walmart.com has picked up on my work. And that's very pleasing to me. And all these books, every book is good. I mean, they're all good. I really like this one with the gulag because it describes so much what really is going on in our society. But the realities are these are platforms that create an opportunity for people to see what's going on here, get educated. That's really important. Knowledge is important here. And move it forward. And, you know, I am the founder of the American Party of America, the American National Committee. We are the Americans. We are family first. If you're not fighting for your family, who are you working for? I think that's the right message. I believe that. And in terms of all this abuse, not only in America, but in Cuba, and now we've got Haiti to deal with. That's really, to me, a real hot spot in the world, Haiti, believe it or not, like Yemen. And the powers that be, and unfortunately, I'm not sure that they really are working for us. The situation was back in the 1800s when President Lincoln was there. He was afraid what America was becoming the way it is now, that it would be. Rutherford B. Hayes said in 1889 that America is no longer a nation of individuals, but corporations. And so now we move into the 1900s. We have Teddy Roosevelt. And then from there, it goes into Jekyll Island, 1910. Then Woodrow Wilson, 1913, the creation of the IRS. The founders never wanted collection of taxes. They didn't want the people to pay taxes unless in certain cases where there was war, that there would be a sunset and that would go away. The Supreme Court of the United States in 1895 said that income taxes are unconstitutional. And I do believe that's correct. And the Federal Reserve is not even a government agency. It is a banking cartel of families who have also spawned the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the Bank of Settlements in England, and then the Vatican Bank. So you have D.C., England, and Italy controlling basically the world's money through these banking families like the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Gettys, the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, and all of these different problems that have come to the American people, expecting the American people to pay for their debt. They created this. All this debt load is theirs. It doesn't belong to us. Did I vote for $35 trillion in debt? No, I did not. Did you?
No.
Okay. There you go. We didn't vote for it. Then why are we stuck with it? It's not our debt. It's their debt. Therefore,
that's right.
Something needs to be done about this, and we can do this because President Kennedy, from the grave, signed Executive Order 11110 on June 4th, 1963, where he was transferring the currency out of the Federal Reserve into the U.S. Treasury. There's no interest paid on U.S. Treasury money. Federal Reserve, we have to service the debt. Therefore, there is a disconnect between what this country was designed for and what it has been created for us now. And there's a conflict there, and something needs to change there. Something needs to be done about it. And I've written a book about this called The Fair Deal, Canceling the National Debt and Restoring Fiscal Accountability. And like I said, right now with this digital currency thing, being able to lock down your money, keeping you from being able to spend your money, keeping you from getting into your money to have access. And then, of course, the social credit score, like in China, this is no good.
Right.
This is what Dennis, Marcy is talking about.
Right. So another question is, and that's important information you just put out there. Another important a question that someone's asking me is, what do you feel about being a pro se litigant? I mean, if a lot of people started doing pro se, don't you think it would start changing how people go to court? They wouldn't be relying on attorneys as much? Or what do you think is important? What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think you got a good point there. For most of us who have done any kind of real forward thinking, critical thinking, we've had to become that. I had to become my own attorney at one time, although I'm not an attorney. I had to get in the books. I had to start talking to successful attorneys. I had to learn how to write complaints, how to do pre-see writing, compress the words in the least amount of space and move it forward in that respect and get into, unfortunately, you've got laws and case laws and the way the judges rule how they operate. You know, it's a skill set is what it is. I wish we could have confidence in the legal system. I have known none except for very, very, very few that I personally have vetted myself or been fortunate to come across. There's a crisis in the Bar Association, as we both know. We all know here, if you don't play ball with them, they'll disbar you. And you're out.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know,
we talk about that in our book.
This is a good moment to mention a very popular and well-known attorney who was pressured into resigning her law license. And after getting an up close and personal acquaintance with the corruption in the probate courts and how these courts operate, and then being forced
right.
out because she was actually doing a lot of good for her clients, and it meant that there was money that was not flowing the right direction in those courts, according to the estimation of the cabals that operate those courts, because they don't like it when people come in and win their own money back. They want to keep the money in the courts and milk it till it's gone. So the fact that she was doing right by her clients meant that she was under tremendous pressure. And so this basically drove her out of that profession. But she's still you know, has a complete legal education. She's still a lawyer, although she's no longer a practicing in courts. Mm-hmm. What she is doing is she's put together a website to train those who want to go to court on their own behalf, that is, pro se litigants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, you can find that website at Family Law Pro Se, which is spelled just like the word prose, like poetry and prose, familylawprose.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, and
make an appointment.
Make an appointment. It is all donation-based, and she did that because she herself, at one time in her life, had a very difficult time. She couldn't afford to hire a lawyer. It was one of the things that inspired her to go to law school herself and become an attorney. And so she thought she wants to be a help to the people that need it most, and oftentimes those people do not have money to go to an attorney. So she decided to arrange her website so that you can get, so that anyone can get help. If you have money, it's donation-based. You certainly should, you know, provide value for value received. But if you don't have money, don't let it stop you, because she's still going to assist you and teach you what you need to know and help you to. There's a course that you can study there that is ongoing, and there's also help. You can make an appointment with her and get help to make up the paperwork for your particular situation, and a consultation with someone who's knowledgeable who can assist you. So,
well, that attorney also joined with another attorney.
That's right.
And we have them both on our radio show, I think it was last week or the week before,
mm-hmm.
Leslie Puerto Rico and
Phil Ross,
and they have both are working together on bringing this knowledge to pro se litigants, and they're going to be doing a lot of work together. Because they were both sanctioned in the same month for doing good for their clients.
Right.
So they have a lot in common, and they want to share their experiences with what happened, just like all of us on our show here tonight.
And more importantly, their knowledge about what you can do if you're facing actions in court that you need to respond to, or if you need to file papers to initiate some actions in court because you're recognizing some inequity, some that needs to be brought into a court.
Exactly. Wow, this has been so fascinating, you know, and we just want to keep talking. And I know that Stuart Hanty was going to call into the show and talk to us about what's going on.
He did
probably fell asleep.
He did mention that he was very tired. He's exhausted today. And,
but I want everybody to know that Stuart Hanty has been free. And
he's been freed.
And he's been freed, and he is getting his ankle monitor off tomorrow. From what I've heard, he said it's been long, exhausting. Roger Hillegas is still in jail. He's got a few other issues he's got to take care of, and he will be free as well. So that's really good news, everybody. We had a lot of advocates working on this together. They put in a lot of stories to tell them that these two should not be jailed. Time served was appropriate. We're done. Let's get on with this. So he's free, everybody. So very good news, everybody. Good work. Hillary, was that you? You had something
to
say? Thank
you to all of those advocates out there who wrote letters on their behalf.
Right.
It appears that...
and Marcy and I wrote one yesterday.
That the weight of the evidence and the power of the many voices raised in support of these two gentlemen, who, in my estimation, and in the estimation of anybody that's got any sense, it seems to me, did no crime at all. What they did was they rescued one of their mothers from an abusive situation, and for that paid very, very dearly because the powers that be didn't like having their powers,
our story was very good too.
You know, peeled back from them that way, and having their property, which was that sweet old woman, taken away.
And that happened the same thing to my family. I mean, I went in there and tried. I was going to go in there and take my mom too. I had a plan to go in there and take her away from my brother and go.
It could have easily. We were just one or two decisions away on more than one occasion from being those people that wound up in prison because we took actions to free someone
right.
from
a bad You have to be really, really, really be careful when you do that or try to do that. I've heard some other stories talking about if you were to free someone from guardianship, these people will not hesitate to put you in prison, put you in jail or whatever. So be very careful.
And if they can, they'll put you in prison for life.
Yeah, so be very careful.
And I'll just, if I could, I don't know if this is random, but just to show you, you know, how families are terrorized when they try and protect other family members or strangers. You know, as advocates, we fight for people that we might not even know. So, Dennis, this happened to me in Naples, right? I live in Naples, I think you know, and I was at the hearing. Right, exactly. So I was at the hearing for Kathy Johnson with Rick Black, another advocate, lots and lots of corrupt lawyers, one of which was a court monitor. Her name is Pamela Keller, but she was my dad's court-appointed attorney. She did nothing. She overcharged him. And my only interaction with her after my dad was freed was I went to a court hearing. This is like six years ago. And after the hearing, I followed her out of the courthouse, and I said, you know, Ms. Keller, my dad wants his money back, as if she would take out her checkbook and say, okay, how much? But needless to say, that was it. Fast forward 6 years later, I had been to functions that she attended, and I see a deputy, right? In the hearing had ended, and I see a deputy looking at me, and he has a business card that I had given the auditor. Long story really short, I asked him, I said, why do you have my business card? He goes, I'll talk to you later. I said, finally, he goes, get out into the hall. Rick Black follows me, and I said, what's the problem? What did I do, right? I'm clueless. He goes, there's a lady in there. Right away, I knew it was my dad's court-appointed attorney, Keller, that I despise. He goes, there's a lady in there, and she says she has a restraining order against you, and she wants you arrested. Now, I talk a good game, but at I do fold. And Rick Black, he goes, okay, if there is a restraining order, where's the paperwork? The cop goes, oh, well, she forgot it at home. And I said, listen, I said, I have no restraining order in any county, in any state, in any country, in the universe. I could have said, you know, I've got a lot of speeding tickets, but no restraining orders. But if I had been someone else, maybe if I had been a little belligerent, maybe if Rick Black wasn't there with me, maybe if I was Black, Spanish, Asian, I would have been arrested. And I would have been arrested because someone who was an attorney, their word trumped mine, so to speak. And they believed her and not me. So we've got to be really, really careful because when they say we can get you arrested, guess what? They can't.
Yes, that's true, and I agree with that, and that's part of the gulag.
That's really, really, really awful.
That's weaponization of the legal system. That's using their own weapon in order to manipulate you. That's manipulative and controlling.
Well, a lot of these are
that's unconstitutional.
It's also using the police as a blunt weapon to beat people with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's using the police. They become an instrument in the hands of these unscrupulous, immoral individuals who...
Exactly.
I don't think it's intentional. But it's just the power that these attorneys have. They're sitting on the inside of the courtroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy. But let me just mention one other thing quickly. So nothing to do with that situation. I tried to get the media to come to court on the 27th of last month to cover Kathy Johnson, who's been running a guardianship business in Collier County and Lee County for the last 20 plus years. No one came to the hearing except Adam Walzer, who was from Tampa. So I called Dennis last maybe Thursday, Friday. Finally, the other day, someone called me back from Kathleen Pasagomo's office. Now, Kathleen Pasagomo is from Naples. She is now a senator, the leading senator. And if you look up the word guardianship, Florida, you'll see her picture waving, right? She knows everything about guardianship. She's written bills that have got into law. And I spoke to one of her underlings, and I said, blah, blah, blah. And Kathy Johnson has been removed from 30 of her cases in Kathleen Pasadomo's, you know, main hub. And I'd like to talk to her about it. I'm a member of the Guardianship Improvement Task Force. And, of course, her staff member said, absolutely not. She's not meeting with anyone concerning guardianship. So, I mean, talk about we've got to do it
all.
And you know, Hillary, to bring Hillary, I remember going to Tallahassee with you when my mother was, you know, isolated and held captive in a garage. And I went to speak, and Pasadomo was right next to me. And I didn't get, when I looked at her, I felt like I looked at an ice cube. She showed no empathy. She showed no empathy. She just sat there, and I looked at her, and I expressly, and I said, thank you for listening. And I'm telling you, it was like looking at a nice ice statue. She froze. And we have gone there many times, and thank God to Hillary always finding, getting everybody together and coordinating so we can go and speak. They all know about this. They have all seen our cry, our pain, and our desperation, and nothing gets done.
Because they don't want it to get done. You know, it's all a facade that they care. But you know what? That's fine and that's dandy, because I know 100,000,000% that everyone listening in and everyone who's speaking tonight on this radio show, that we will not stop until justice is had for all the people that are living in the guardianship, and to prevent it from happening to anyone and all people. So, you know, onward
so wrong.
We go.
It's like every time the abusers have a price to pay. And
definitely.
I can tell you, we have all felt helpless. I felt like I was punching my stomach through my emotions. I felt mental anguish and desperation to see an elderly lady, my mother, who was always so kind and loving and always helping people and work her butt off to make a living in the United States of America with my father and me, and to see these people where their daughter goes and all of us went up, cried, and nothing's been happened, I honestly don't think that we are dealing with godly people. We're dealing with the devil.
Marcy, we have to admit, they did say one thing. Your 1 minute is up. That's all, you know what? All they were concerned with getting us off.
This is one thing I learned. Whenever anyone goes up there to Tallahassee, there's so many minutes allowed to speak. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we need to do a little research on that. So when we do go up again, because I want to go up again, because I want to tell them the story how my mother ended up dying.
Right. I want to say something if I can.
We are allowed a certain amount of minutes. So let's say if there's 30 minutes, and I'm just giving you a hypothetical.
if the 30 right. minutes that are allowed for the public to come in and speak, and if there's 10 people, then they have to divide the 10 by those 30 minutes. Now, I don't know if it's 30 or 40 or 60 minutes, but that's something that we need to find out. So when they say your minute is up, then we can say, no, it's not.
Right. I want to say something here, folks. I'm in Tallahassee yes. right now. I was here last St. Pat's Day, Sunday, and we're going to have another event at the Vietnam Memorial across the street from Tallahassee Capitol in Florida here in Tallahassee. And I today spoke with Tom Flanagan. He is with NPR here in Tallahassee with WFSU Radio. He and I are going to meet. It's going to be really positive. And the people, and believe me, you can come here if you wish. I mean, tell your stories because we've got the media coming here. And all of this is important. This is Sunday the 24th. We're talking at noon, 12 o'clock. And we will be all set up, ready to go for the media. Tom Flanagan with NPR. Right now, just to say this, I am peddling a debate with RFK Jr. as a third-party candidate for president. Through NPR, National awesome. Public Radio, out of Washington, D.C. And I am also talking to the 12 o'clock noon. And we're talking the Wall Street Journal to do stories on this and elevate it. I've always said that I would make my way into the mainstream incrementally. And that's what's happening.
You did.
And so as it sits right now, we will be a voice for the voiceless. I want a kitchen cabinet at the White House for the president. People like us communicating their thoughts to the president so that the president has the support of the people. And if the Congress will not operate properly with the people, we have to replace the Congress.
Absolutely wow. right. Absolutely
Dennis,
right.
I wanted you to know, I wonder if you, since you're talking about coverage, the HuffPost, HuffPost, wrote an article about, it says, is elder guardianship a new form of human trafficking? So mm-hmm. maybe we can contact them so they can cover it as well.
Exactly.
Who is it?
HuffPost.
Right. Everybody, we have exactly 2 minute mark.
Ariana Huffington.
Right.
HuffPost.
I'm going to send it to you.
2 minute mark.
So it says HuffPost. And,
yeah.
and
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're below the 2 minute mark now. So,
so we're coming to a close. We appreciate you all tuning in tonight. We appreciate our guest, Dennis Ball,
uh-huh.
And our co-host, Marcy. Luann Fleming and Robin Austin.
We're all doing good work here, everybody.
And
great
we
news.
Appreciate our audience. Mm-hmm. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember,
thank
justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option.
Right, and do everything you can, and the most important thing to do is just speak out. So what's your last words you want to talk about, Dennis? What do you
Any
want everybody to know?
Last words for our audience.
Well, I would just say, you know, file the complaints. First of all, go to court, file the complaints, or file the complaints, go to court with your evidence, and file the liens, file the IRS forms. In other words, put pressure on them. They're criminals. Let's face it. They're criminals. They deserve death. In many cases, they've murdered our family. Guantanamo Bay, Cuba is waiting for them. I want them frog marched up to the tribunals. I want military tribunals. I want them convicted. And then they have five places to get their poison. And that would be from guillotine to firing squads and from there on. And the realities
yeah.
are, until that happens, I don't think there's any way to fix this.
Well, thank you very much for coming on and telling us about your book. His new book is The Guardianship Gulag, The Perfect Crime by the Color of Law. You can find it on Amazon. Everybody get your books there.
Dennis Andrew Ball.
Dennis Andrew Ball. Thank you, Hillary, for coming on. Marcy, as usual. Robin, hi. Thank you. And we'll be back again next week, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We appreciate you.
We really appreciate you. And just hang in there. We got the NASCAR commercial.
Bless.
God bless.
God bless
and guide us.
Good night.
Thank you.
Did you know that mothers and fathers are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.